with information on the latest developments in assistive technology, from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Today we look at an interesting development in the treatment of age-related macular degeneration. Specifically, macular degeneration causes loss of vision in the centre of the visual field because of damage to the retina. This makes it difficult to read or to recognise faces. It is a major cause of blindness in older adults, and so, with the number of people suffering from it expected to triple in the next two decades, considerable scientific effort is being applied to its prevention and cure. Which brings us to the subject of today's edition of AbleQuest.
I'm just mad about saffron. Saffron's mad about me.
Those three little threads of saffron that you added recently to your rice or casserole could just be the answer. Saffron has long been regarded as an important spice. Its use dates back over 3,500 years through many countries, cultures, and civilizations. It is derived from three tiny red stigmas taken from the plant Crocus sativus, so it is very labor-intensive to produce. Despite this, saffron has been widely used as a seasoning and coloring agent in food, as pigment for dyeing cloth, and as a component in traditional medicines. And now some scientists have discovered that it may have benefits in treating age-related macular degeneration. One important figure in this ongoing research is Dr. Jonathan Stone, who is Professor of Retinal and Cerebral Neurobiology at the University of Sydney's Faculty of Medicine. He is also the director of CSCM Pty Limited, trading as ClearSight, ClearMind. Barbara Sullivan spoke with Professor Stone in the 2RPH studio in Sydney. She began by asking him where the idea of researching saffron for this use came from.
It came from two sources. One has to do with Italy and the place. A colleague that I'd worked with for many years, Professor Sylvia Bisti at the University of L'Aquila in Abruzzo, did the pioneering work. Abruzzo is to the east of Rome, up in the Apennines. It's good saffron-growing country. And saffron has a strong reputation in traditional, untested medicine. And Sylvia tried it rigorously in a model of retinal degeneration, and remarkably it worked, and we've worked together on it since. And the scientific literature on saffron as a tissue protective intervention is really large and growing. The second source is a growing understanding that we're developing in this field that I work in, which is called neuroprotection. It surprised me as I've gotten into it, and it's developing fast and promisingly. There's a series of diseases which afflict us if we get into our 70s and 80s. They're neurodegenerative diseases of the brain. We call it dementia or Parkinson's disease. Macular degeneration is the most common in the retina. And what we're learning in this work, not just with saffron, but with a range of interventions, is that you can condition tissue to be resistive to stress and damage. I was never taught this as a student when I was a medical student. Mm. The knowledge wasn't there. The idea of conditioning began with people who were interested in heart attacks. And heart attacks are periods of ischemia, lack of blood supply to a bit of the heart because a coronary artery has got blocked. They wanted to understand that. Concept they didn't expect to come out with, but it's there, and it's major and important, is called ischemic conditioning. They figured out and discovered, I think is the right word, that if you make a bit of heart tissue ischemic for a short period, too short to be lethal, and then challenge it with a lethal period of ischemia, enough to kill the muscle, that initial period of sublethal ischemia is protective. It's called ischemic conditioning, and protects the heart, and protects the brain, and protects the retina, and protects the lungs. It's a major bodily interaction. It looks like saffron can elicit that reaction.
How long has the research been in progress?
So that work on ischemic preconditioning was in the 1990s. Remote ischemic preconditioning was defined in the last decade. The work on saffron really is from the last decade. Mm. There's a little bit in the 1990s. It's now a growing rapid field. And I think saffron, or at least its components, will be more and more used because there's a strong literature on the anti-cancer properties of saffron. There's a concept of hormesis, which is that many things that happen to you, like radiation or ischemia, in large doses are lethal. In small doses, seem to be protective, and that was gamma rays. I didn't expect it. Then there's the phytotoxins, the plant toxins. So the best known is resveratrol. You find it in red wine.
Yes, a little bit of red wine is okay.
Yeah, and people, and it gets a lot of publicity because it's in red wine, and we understand and enjoy it. But it's not restricted to resveratrol. There's a series of plant toxins that plants have evolved to discourage insects. Now, we've co-evolved with the plants. We eat these plants. We eat small amounts of those toxins. If we ate large amounts, they would make us very sick, but we've learned to eat small amounts, and they condition the brain or the retina or the heart or the lung to be resistant to damage.
That's where saffron comes in.
So saffron can produce the same conditioning, and so can this infrared light. So that's, what, 5 or 10 interventions that can do it. So the question for me as a scientist is, are these 10 interventions, each with its own literature, are they working through 10 different mechanisms, or perhaps there's one mechanism, and our job is to discover and define it. And that's where my scientific work is at.
But specifically, you're researching the use of saffron.
Mm.
So how were the trials conducted, and in what form was the saffron administered?
Yeah. So the trials that were done in Italy, they're two clinical trials, and they delivered the saffron in a tablet form. So just you'd call it a nutraceutical, but it's raw saffron packaged into a tablet form. So it can be, you're not guessing how much each individual's taken. The subjects in those trials had a early stage dry form of macular degeneration. It was a small trial, 25 subjects, but well controlled, placebo controlled, double blind crossover. And it brought benefit to 23 of the 25 patients, some restoration of vision, and in a follow-up study, considerable stability over a year. So it's a very encouraging but small trial, needs to be repeated. And
does the quality of saffron have an effect?
We assume it must. Now, saffron, there's some things that are constant about saffron. Plant biologists tell us that it's a mutant plant. It doesn't reproduce, although it has this lovely lily with the sexual organs, the stigmata and the stamen, and it's the stigmata that are the saffron. Oh, it has those. It's sterile because it's a triploid mutant. And since time immemorial, and there's no record of where it came from, it's been reproduced by cloning of the malms. And one result is that saffron genetically is very similar worldwide, as far as we know. There's virtually no variation.
Variations. Interesting.
But harvesting, post-handling, that is important. And we're learning to define which of the many chemicals any plant has, but saffron has a whole range of them, which are important. One thing about saffron is that if you test the antioxidant capacity of saffron, weight for weight, it's the most powerful oxidant plant that's known. We don't think that it's actually the antioxidant property of saffron that's involved, and we analyze the results in detail. Saffron and the red light in those experiments, they seem to be turning on genetic systems that upregulate protective mechanisms.
So you don't actually know how the saffron affects the condition.
We know a great deal about it, but I cannot put a single name to it. When you tackle these things scientifically, you can look at your favorite molecule, the one you suspect, and that's usually regulated. You can do microarray studies on the whole genome, and we've done that to give you many answers. And sometimes you miss the thing. If you don't look, you won't see. So we're starting to be interested in circulating systems of cells derived from the bone marrow, which we suspect are the mechanism of body circulation of the protective effects.
Ah, interesting. And you mentioned a year before. So how long do patients need to take saffron at the recommended dosage?
Yeah, so again, you know, when we look at the published work, the effect came on in a 3-month period. It may come on more quickly than 3 months. In our animal work, where we've done it in some detail the effect of saffron, the protective effect against retinal degeneration in our models, comes on within a week. Those trials didn't look at time more closely than that.
And they need to keep taking it. You can't stop taking it.
Not without the effect, the risk of the effect fading, yes.
You mentioned before a tablet form is probably the best because it's you can be consistent with the amount that's ingested. And what if they just included it in their daily diet?
It should be just fine. I would warn against heating it, making a saffron tea. I mean, you may make a saffron tea by all means, but there's a risk that, that heating will destroy the active molecules.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Where are you sourcing your saffron?
There's an Australian source, a very good company called TASSAF, based in Hobart. And I've also got samples from Europe, from Greece, from Italy, and Spain, yes. I've used a fair bit of Spanish saffron too.
Does it make sense to take a little bit of saffron daily as a prevention, like you might take vitamin C or calcium tablets, for example?
So common sense says yes, it would make sense. But I have to say that no one has done the big studies you need to know if you take 1,000 people and put them on it, and there's 1,000 age match controls, no one's shown that the onset of degeneration is delayed. Common sense says it might well be.
So on that note, have there been any studies of people living in countries where saffron is a staple and used very frequently in their cuisine, like Morocco or Spain, showing that the incidence of macular degeneration is lower?
Yeah, so geographical comparative studies, yeah. And I've looked for that and not been able to find data from enough countries to make sense. That is, you need the data about macular degeneration collected in the same way, classified in the same way in each of those countries. And as far as I know, and I've tried really hard with the literature, there isn't enough data there to be able to say.
So are there any tablets or capsules of saffron available in Australia?
I've set up an Australian website, yes.
So you have an Australian website where people could go online and order online?
Yes. I'm a little shy to promote myself, but it's clearsightclearmind.com.
clearsightclearmind.com
is the website.
It is interesting, going back to what we were discussing before, that with better technology when you're having your eye tests, they can determine the possibility of macular degeneration at a very, very early stage, much earlier than, say, 5 years ago.
Yes.
So at that point, if you're shown that you have a propensity for developing it, I suppose, that and the saffron's available, and it's not going to have any adverse effect, no reason why you wouldn't.
Yes, so there are some predisposing genes that have been defined. That they're not strong regulators, but they do have a significant regulation of it, and you can have that tested.
And do you feel you've got adequate funding to do what you need to do?
I've been lucky to have funding, and I'm still well funded, and we're very active, and I'm still as excited as I was when I was a postdoc.
That was Dr. Jonathan Stone discussing his ongoing research on the effects of saffron on macular degeneration. Dr. Stone is Professor of Retinal and Cerebral Neurobiology at the University of Sydney's Faculty of Medicine. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. I'm Marnie Roper. Thank you for listening, and goodbye till next programme.